Well, why don't you turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll start there tonight, work our way through to Revelation. Hallelujah. Joking. Joking. Revelation chapter... No. Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read one verse here. And this verse, if you can get a hold of it as a Christian and realize the magnitude of what it is saying, it will help you a lot in your life as a Christian. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God says, let us bring into existence a non-deified replication of me, God. Now, that right there should cue you in to how we're supposed to live here on earth. Can God be defeated by anything? Well, no. Therefore, if I'm created in His likeness and His image, can I be defeated? Now, right there I could hear some people thinking, well, I'm not so sure. The answer is no. If I'm living a Genesis 1:26 life, this is God's declaration, His word, when it goes forth from His mouth, it will not return void. It accomplishes what He desires. So we continue in Genesis. We see how that, yes, God did this. Created man in His image, but He gave man something unique called a free will. Using that free will, man rebelled against God. And we know Genesis 3, up until now, there's been a real sin problem in the world. Jesus came to make it possible for that to be eradicated in our lives. Therefore, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, spiritually, we are now Genesis 1:26. We have been reborn in the image and likeness of God. Non-deified. Our bodies, because we're still operating here in this world, have not yet been glorified, but that day is coming. And then we again will be in the fullness, body, soul, spirit, if you will, of Genesis 1:26. But until then, from a spiritual perspective, living in a human body, we have the ability to live a Genesis 1:26 lifestyle. Now let's take a look at this and identify one of the characteristics of God in this chapter, this very first chapter. In verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and nothing happened." That's not what it says, is it? "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament." Well, there was a firmament. Verse 9, "God said, let the waters, etc., and the waters did what He said." Verse 11, "God said, let the earth bring forth, and the earth brought forth." Verse 14, "God said, let there be lights, etc., etc., and there were lights." Verse 20, "God said, let the waters bring forth, and the waters brought forth." And you continue in this, and you even see where God spoke a blessing. And God, well, in verse 22, God blessed them. In verse 24, God said, and in verse 26, God said. So what we're seeing is a pattern. Whatever God said happened. Now, we don't have a problem with that, do we? Well, of course not. I mean, that's God. You know, if He speaks it, well, naturally it should happen because He spoke it. Now let's turn over to Mark. Mark chapter 11. And let's see what Jesus has to say here. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Do you think Jesus was lying? No, I don't think so. Well, if he wasn't lying, then he must have been telling the truth. If he's telling the truth, that means whatsoever I shall say, if I believe that they'll come to pass, I'll have whatever I say. Very simple. Here's the problem. We don't really believe that now, do we? Seriously. There's something in us that is not of God that wants to argue with that. Well, then you witness all these people out there that take this to a weird extreme. I say I have a new Cadillac. I say I have a husband. I say I have a wife. I say I have a husband and a wife. That one won't work for sure. I say I have. So what happens? You have Christians that take this and they think, okay, well, I just start saying things. Then it doesn't happen. So they come back and they say, that stuff doesn't work. In other words, Jesus is a liar. Are you saying Jesus lied? Look, it can't be both ways. He either told the truth or he lied. Now, I guarantee you this, he did not lie. He told the truth. Therefore, Jesus, when he said, if you speak, believe in your heart, don't doubt, then what you say, it'll come to pass. That's it. Where did he come up with this? Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. In other words, look like us, act like us, behave like us, have a character like us, just not be deity. Then the pattern that we saw there in Genesis chapter 1 is, God said, it happened. God said, it happened. God said, it happened. Jesus turns around and he said, if you say and don't doubt, it'll happen. If you say and don't doubt, it will happen. It's the same thing. There is no difference other than the fact we're not deity creating universes. He's talking about speaking to natural things. He's talking about speaking to things relative to this creation in which we live. And he basically is repeating what God did in Genesis chapter 1. God spoke, things came into existence, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Jesus turns around and he says, let me tell you a little bit about this image and likeness thing. If you will have faith in God and believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass and don't doubt, you'll have what you say. Very simple. But we struggle with that. Why do we struggle with that? Because we don't have verse 22. Have faith in God. You have to have verse 22 before you can have verse 23. If you don't have faith in God, somebody says, well, I have faith in God. I mean, I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I have faith in God. Well, I'm glad you do. But is it possible it's limited faith? Here's what I mean. Genesis 1, God said, let us create man in our image and our likeness. Genesis 1, God identified one characteristic of his image and likeness, and that is, he spoke, it came into existence. He blessed, the blessing happened. Then we come back over here in this 23rd verse, and Jesus is giving us a little bit of an expanded version of this relative to us, those of us created in God's likeness and God's image. And he says, here's a principle that you should know starting back with Genesis chapter 1. But the key is to have faith in God. Therefore, I could have faith in God to a certain point, but when it comes to having faith in God that verse 23 will work, that's when I can be challenged. Now, let's just be honest here. How many times have we spoken something and it didn't happen? Then we sit back and think, well, okay, what's the deal? Pastor said it's supposed to happen. No, hold on here. Jesus said it will happen. Don't lay that on me. And so you have a lot of Christians who will criticize preachers who will point out verse 23.
I tried that faith and confession stuff and it doesn't work.
Now wait a minute. It has to work or Jesus is a liar. Do you follow my logic? It has to work or Jesus is a liar. Now if he lied about this, how do I know he was telling the truth about all that born again stuff? If he lied about this, how do I know he told the truth about the Holy Spirit? How do I know that he told the truth about much of anything? If he lied about this, how about this? He didn't lie about this The problem is my belief. I don't have verse 22 down, or verse 23 would be happening. There's no other way to get around this. Well, let's take a look at all this. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm just going to pass some things on to you. You know, you guys can take this and think about it, meditate on it, because I've got a bunch of thinking and meditating to do on my own with this. Because in this message, what the Lord was sharing with me, I mean, yeah, it's like, praise God, wow, this is a great sermon. The problem is, I'm convicted over this. I don't want to be convicted. You know, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have everything in order here. Well, no. So this is like confession night, I guess. I don't know. But Hebrews chapter 6, look here in verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. What promises? I don't care. Name them. Pick a few. What do you find in here is a promise from God? Through faith and patience. Inherit the promises. In other words, take position, take possession, make it personal, make it yours, see it happen. It manifests. Whatever the promises would be. Faith and patience. Jesus said, have faith in God. See, having faith in God, back over there what we saw in Mark 11:22, that's not simply a matter of I believe God exists. That's a matter of having faith that yes, He does exist, but that everything He said is true. I can have faith that Kathy exists, but if I didn't believe her when she said, I love you, we'd have never gotten married. But I had faith and believed that she meant when she said she loved me. Well, you know, it's been over 30 years now, so I figure that she was telling me the truth. We've been around together for a long time here. God has given us His Word. Now, I receive the promises through faith. Through faith and patience. I receive them. So the promises are out there. They exist. They're not going away. But to see those promises, whatever it would be, provision, healing for my body, peace, joy, emotional strength, I mean, just whatever. For me to see those promises that are out there manifest in my life, if I do not have this faith, then the promises will not manifest. Well, you have a lot of Christians who are frustrated because they go through Scripture and they say, but God promised this and God promised that. Well, He did. But if you're believing to receive something from God, it must be received by faith. There's no other way. Well, then that brings up a question about the whole issue of faith. Let's take a look at some verses. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now look here what Jesus said in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. If you're not sowing the word, you're not a sower. Very simple. If you're sowing the word, then you're a sower. Where does the word need to be sown? In me. In me. See, I can speak the word over you and to you, and yes, I'm sowing the word in you in that respect. But let me ask you a question. Who are you with the most? You or me? That wasn't a trick question. You are with you more than you are with me. Kathy is with her more than she is with me. And we're married. So, who should be the primary source of sowing the word in me? Me. Follow this? Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. Now look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now look here in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Now I want you to think for a moment. In Genesis chapter 1, We read all of those, and God said, whose word was he speaking? Again, not a trick question. He was speaking his word. He was speaking what was resident in him. On the inside of him, he wanted light. On the inside of him, he wanted the waters. He wanted the animals. He wanted, you know, man in his likeness and image. All of that resided on the inside of him. But until he spoke it, now, don't think in terms of, you know, well, God took a deep breath of oxygen. No, there is no oxygen in the spirit realm. Do you understand that, don't you? Yeah. Oxygen is a created thing. The creator is not dependent upon the created. You follow me? So, you know, don't be thinking, well, yes, God took a deep breath of air. Let there be. No, he didn't. There was no air to take it to breathe in. There was until he started creating. You follow what I'm saying? And some people, you know, when you say things like that, it's like, huh? What? There's no air. Well, if there's no air, how does he live? I can't explain to you. Okay, he took a deep breath of spirit. Okay, I don't understand the exact process. All I know is God spoke it. When he spoke it, he was releasing his word that was dwelling within him. And he spoke it, and when he did, it came to pass. And so here we've seen that the sower is supposed to sow the word. Now we also see that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then what is the source of faith? The word of God. Well, now look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at this first verse. Now, faith is the substance, the basis, the foundation, the existence, the subsistence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or irrefutable truth of things not seen. God is telling you that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the sower sows the word. Now I want you to listen to this, what the Lord was sharing with me. If you are not sowing the word of God related to what you want to receive, then number one, you do not have the seed of the answer in your spirit. Number two, the faith for what you want to receive has not come. Number three, you do not have the substance of the answer. And number four, you do not have the evidence of what you're hoping to receive. If you're not sowing the word of God into you, if I'm not sowing it into me, I don't have any of these things. I don't have the seed of the answer in my spirit. I don't have faith for what I want to receive. I do not have the substance of the answer, and I do not have the evidence of what I'm hoping to receive. So a preacher stands up and he says, healing is yours. It is promised by the word of God. And he points out some verses and it's like, glory to God, healing's mine. Well, hallelujah. I'm convinced healing is mine. So then I run out and, you know, my gichigumi starts acting up. You know, I'm having some problems with my gullet. Whatever. And so I'm thinking, well, bless God, healing's mine. So healing, I'm healed. Yes, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. Hallelujah, I'm healed. Well, my gullet starts getting worse. My gizzard starts acting up. And I don't know what's going on. I don't want to go to the doctor now. Because after all, I'm faith man. But it gets worse. So finally, somebody convinces me, dude, you better go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and they want to give me all this medicine. They want to put me in a hospital, and all these things go on. So there I am, laying in the hospital, got an IV. They're coming and giving me pills. They wake me up at 3 a.m. to give me my sleeping pill.
Wake up, Mr. Martin, wake up. It's time for your sleeping pill. Wake up.
So, you know, and I'm thinking, well, what's the deal? I thought I was healed, man. Healing's mine. That's what the preacher said. He pointed it out in the Bible. Hallelujah. And he didn't lie to you. He didn't lie to you at all. But what happened was this. You're trying to appropriate healing with 30 minutes of a sermon, and you don't have enough faith for it. You just don't. It's not there. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. The sower sows, not the sower sowed. The sower sows. This is an ongoing process. So the preacher stands up and he says, healing belongs to you. And he points out like 5 verses that prove healing belongs to me as a child of God. But what I need to do is I need to take those 5 verses and sow into my life. I need to be a sower sowing those verses into my life. Sowing those verses into my life and continue to sow those verses into my life over and over. Just continue to sow these verses into my life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The sower sows the Word, and faith is the evidence of things hoped, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have to keep doing this so that when the time comes that an affliction attacks my body, faith has been developed in me to the point that I now can do Mark 11:23 and speak to the mountain of sickness, speak to the mountain of whatever the mountain would be in your life, and the faith in me is released through those words a la Genesis chapter 1, and I get the results of what is now in my heart. But if I do not sow and sow, the faith isn't there. This is where I've made a massive mistake over the years of my life. I'll hear sermons, but I will not take the sermons beyond the sanctuary and be a sower of the Word into my life. And if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, then if I'm not doing this sowing part, the faith isn't coming. I don't have the evidence. I don't have the substance. I don't have any of this. I don't have the answer. I mean, none of these things are existing on the inside of me. Think of it like this. You're driving down the road, and you look over, and you see some guy standing out in the field. He's stomping his foot. He's throwing and just, I mean, you can tell, you can hear him screaming and yelling and just mad, just angry. You think, man, this guy's going to hurt himself. So you pull over. And you get out and you go, hey, buddy, what's going on there, man? Everything okay? And he looks at you and he says, is everything okay? Does it look like everything's okay? He says, I got to take my corn to the mill next week, and this stupid cornfield has no corn in it whatsoever. This stupid cornfield. And you're thinking, well, what's wrong here? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, yeah, I see you got a big field, but there's nothing here but a bunch of dirt. And he says, that's precisely my point. This is a cornfield. There's supposed to be corn in the cornfield. And you look at him and you ask him, well, when did you sow your corn? And then all of a sudden he looks at you and says, do what? He said, well, when did you sow your corn? Well, what are you talking about? You know, corn, those little things on the cob, you know, you're supposed to take those and put them in the ground. He says, well, what a waste of time. It's a cornfield. It's supposed to produce corn. Yeah, but it's only a cornfield if corn has been sown in it. And this would be, I mean, that wouldn't that be some kind of stupid farmer? To be fussing and complaining, I mean, think of it like this. A farmer has no foundation for complaining if he does not have corn growing in a field where he sowed no corn? Well, we laugh at that. Let's think about us now. I have no foundation for complaining if I don't see healing manifest when I've never sown healing seed in my life. I have no foundation for getting mad at God and blaming Him because there's a lack of peace in my life if I have not sown the seeds of peace into me. The same thing for provision. The same thing for whatever promises exist. I have no place to complain. I can try to blame God all I want, but here's the thing. He has said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by my word. The sower sows the word. And don't forget, faith is the substance of the things you hope for and the evidence of things you don't see. And my son said, have faith in me, which means you better believe what I say. And when you believe what I say, you'll be a sower of the word. Then you turn around and do verse 23. The speaking to the mountain is going to involve you speaking my word. Speaking faith that has come from my word. That's when you're going to see this mountain move. And this is where I've been guilty. And really, most faith Christians I know, at least one point in their life, have been guilty just the same way. In that we have not sown, but we expected to reap a crop. We expected to walk out our door one morning and see a cornfield full of corn, a potato field full of potatoes, bean field full of beans, whatever it is. We expect that we're going to see healing, that we're going to see a ministry develop. We expect we're going to see things happen in our lives. We expect we're going to see finances and material things. We expect to see all these promises manifest when we haven't sown the word of the promise into our lives so that we can turn around and do a Mark 11:23 and speak those things. Because again, Jesus is either a liar or this principle is true. And if this principle is true, then the fault is not with God. The fault's with us. The fault's with me. But it's easy to fall into this trap because we're so accustomed to seeing failure. Hey, think about it. We're surrounded by failure in the body of Christ. People that talk about, well, I was hoping for and believing for, but it never happened. Well, I confessed and it never happened. Confession without faith is just basically a lot of empty words. That'd be like taking the piece of the corn and digging everything out of it and then taking that little hole and putting the hole in the ground and say, have at it. What? Nothing's going to happen because you dug out what was necessary. If we don't continue, if we don't sow the word in our lives, then we don't have the faith to do with Mark 11:23. Well, see right along with that. If you don't know what God has promised, how are you going to know what to believe for? Remember in Hebrews 6:12, we read that it's through faith and patience that we receive. We see manifest in our life the promises. But if you don't know what He's promised, how do you know what to believe for? This is kind of interesting. I grew up in church. We all had a Bible. And we read it. You know, one of the things that we would do is read our Bible. Now, as a young kid, I know I didn't read the Bible all the way through. But I know I read my Bible. Well, there were things in the Bible that were God's promises that I never took the time to sow into my life. See, if you go through here and you keep reading and keep reading and keep reading about you'll receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you believe the words of Jesus, you know what? The day's going to come and you're going to say, you know what? I'll receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon me. Well, I think I want that power. Holy Ghost, come upon me. you see what I'm getting at? We did not know all of God's promises. In fact, We were actually told, now I'm going to say this, it's a little dramatic. We were actually told that God's a liar. Now, they didn't use those words, but when they said things like healing's not for today, what you really say, and it's said in ignorance, I understand that. It's not said to, you know, be insulting to God. But you're really saying, God didn't tell you the truth about that. I know better. So it's like, you do? Well, in that case, I don't need to read my Bible anymore. Healing's not for today. I'll just listen to you. And I'll put my faith in your words. At that point, I have absolutely no hope for healing whatsoever. Except when I get sick, I hope God changes His mind. Come on, God, I'm special. You know, I go to church. I carry my Bible when I go. And I even put money in the offering plate sometimes. There's nothing in me to produce Mark 11:23, the speaking. See, this is supposed to be working for us all the time. Not just when we're desperate. It's supposed to be an ongoing lifestyle. When God was in heaven doing Genesis chapter 1, He didn't say, okay, here goes. Let there be light. And then when there was light, He didn't go, wow, it worked. Look at that, angels, check it out, it worked. Let's try this again.
Let there be earth.
Oh, there's a planet. Oh, man. I didn't know I could do that. Did you guys know I could do this? This is amazing. Let's see what else we can do. Waters, creatures. No. If anybody was surprised, it would have been the angels, but I don't think they were surprised. I think they just figured that's how God works. I mean, I don't know. I guess when you're in the presence of absolute pure glory, you kind of figure something's going on. At least two-thirds of them did. Well, it's supposed to be the same thing for us. That's the pattern, Genesis 1. We're in His image and in His likeness. That's the way it's supposed to be for us. Christians don't want to believe this. Here's why. It's because you haven't sowed the Word of God in you enough to even believe this principle works. That's why when you hear this, well, there it is, another one of them faith and confession messages. All right, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. My name's Jimmy, I'll take all you gimme. Come on, let's go. No. The faith and confession message started in Genesis chapter 1. And Jesus reiterated this in Mark 11:23. And He's saying, look, you need to have faith in God. Which means you accept what He has said, what He started back there in Genesis chapter 1. We wait until the last minute, right? You know, when the doctor says, well, you got about 30 minutes to live. And then all of a sudden it's like, by His stripes I was healed, by His stripes I was healed, by His stripes I was healed. You know what that's like? Seriously? That is like waiting until the night before to study for the final exam. None of you did that, right? I did it. I mean, you know the test is coming. You know it is. And so, you know, you just play around and do whatever, and then here it is the night before, and you get, you know, your stomach starts churning because you know you got the big test. And so it's like, whoa, where's my textbook? And you run, you grab your textbook, and you start trying to read 4011 chapters in 2 hours. And you show up the next day, and there are questions that you didn't even know existed. It's like, who? This guy set sail what? You have no clue. That's cramming for the final exam. When we wait until there's a crisis in our life, and then we decide to start sowing the Word of God, we're cramming for the final exam. And it doesn't work. Seriously. You've been there, and so have I. Financial crisis arises. Okay, I know that there are some promises in here somewhere. Let me call Pastor. Maybe he knows where they are. Or you grab God's promise for your every need book. Now, that's not wrong. It really is not wrong, because those books can be very helpful. And you blow the dust off. And then you open. You guys know what I'm talking about. But when we are sowers, that's an ongoing process. And once again, please, I don't want to present myself to you as somebody that has sown the way he's supposed to. Because I haven't done this properly in my own life. I'm just telling you what God has shown me. And again, this is, you know, I'll just call it a rebuke to me as well. It's God showing why this hasn't worked for us the way that we know it's supposed to work. It's because we have not taken the time to sow the Word of God into our lives for the things we're believing to receive. So if I'm believing to receive healing, then I need to have been sowing the Word of healing into my life. If I'm believing for whatever the promise is, well, I need to get into this book and I need to be sowing the Word of God into my life. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And this is what I'm supposed to do. This is all a part of living the Genesis 1:26 life, the kingdom life. It worked for Jesus. Think about this. A lot of what we look at in the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we say, wow, you talk about an anointing. Why, the blind man said, Jesus, I need help. Jesus says, what do you want? The man says, I want my sight. Jesus says, receive your sight. Wow. Boy, I'd sure like to have an anointing like that. Is it possible that it wasn't so much anointing as it was the Word of God consuming him? I'm just presenting that as a different way of thinking of this. I'm not diminishing his anointing, please. I'm not. What I'm saying is it possible that we could get more results like that if the Word of God were the dominant factor in our lives? Is it possible that we could speak to whatever the mountains are and we'd see them change, see them remove? Well, sure, Jesus said so. And again, he's either a liar or that principle is true. But I want you to turn over to, where do we want to turn? Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. We're in Hebrews. Okay, go back to chapter 1 here. In Genesis chapter 1. No, you stay in Hebrews. I'm going to reference Genesis chapter 1. You stay in Hebrews chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, what we see is everything in the natural had and has as its beginning God's Word. Everything. Now that Word started on the inside of him. And he spoke it. And it became a manifest reality. Everything in the natural has as its foundation, as its point of origin, the Word of God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by what? The word of his power. He is the express image. What are we? In the image and likeness. And it says, he upholds, he sustains, he maintains, upholds all things by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, the word of his power. Meaning the power is there, but it is released into action by his word. By the word of his power. God's word has been given to us. Not just to be a revelation of who he is and what we have in him, but it's also been given to us as a source of power to see things change. If everything in the natural had as its beginning the Word of God, and in Genesis 1:26, God says, I'm going to give dominion over the work of my hands to man, then that means I maintain, exercise, and demonstrate that dominion through the Word of His power, through His Word. Now turn over to Luke chapter 6. This will be the last verse we look at tonight. Luke chapter 6. And look here in verse 43. Jesus says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house, digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. God's word is the foundation of his will, his promises, and his blessings. Now, our confession reveals the abundance of our heart. He says right here, my word is to be your foundation, verses 46 to 49. And he also said prior to that, that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now, if you keep in mind he's looking at this from a kingdom perspective, then what he's saying is the kingdom principle, the kingdom law is, you're going to take my words, the word of God, and it's going to be the dominant factor in your life. It will govern your life. It will be the abundance of your heart. Then, when you open and speak, you're not going to be speaking goofy things. You're not going to be speaking Cadillacs, massive houses, jewelry, all this other. You won't be speaking that. What you'll be speaking are the words that reside in the heart of God. Because his words then become the abundance of your own heart. They're already the abundance of his. His words then become the abundance of your own heart, and then out of your mouth you begin to speak from that good treasure. Then is when you begin to see Mark 11:23 take place. You begin to see the things happen, and you're not speaking amiss. Your confession is lining up with the word of God. Well, all you have to do is be around people long enough, and you're going to find out where they're coming from. When people start using negative terms relative to the promises of God, that means those promises, the word of those promises, has not been sown in their heart. And it's amazing to me how many times there are Christians I'll be around, they're hoping to see a promise manifest, but then they turn right around and speak against that promise. And what you just told me is that the word has not been sown in your heart. I'll tell you something else. The more you sow the word of God in your heart, the more sensitive you will be to all of this. Here's something else the Lord shared with me. I didn't write it down, so I'll try to remember it word for word. Have you ever prayed and, oh God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. Oh God, you ask him a question. Nothing. It's like, well, where is he? He's supposed to be out there somewhere. Come on, God, speak to me. I want to hear. You hear nothing. The Bible tells us God cannot lie. Is it possible that the fact he cannot lie is the reason he is silent? Because you already know what you want to hear. And he cannot speak what you want to hear, because it would be a lie. And so he waits until your heart is ready to receive what he will say. Because I think it's very possible sometimes Christians have asked questions, God has given an answer, and they thought it was the devil. No way, get thee behind me. God says, I will not get behind you, but I will lead and guide you. If we do not operate in the likeness and the image of God concerning faith, then we will not get faith results. You notice I haven't even brought in the whole issue of praying in tongues. When we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Consider this. If we're not sowing the Word of God, how much faith is there to be built up upon? Say, well, Brother Martin, I didn't need to hear that. Well, I didn't either, but I'm not going to delete it. See what I'm getting at? Now, this is not meant to create a burden on anybody's life. I don't have time to sow the Word. Yeah, you do. I do too. It's just a matter of us being diligent about well-doing. It's about us reprioritizing our life. It's about us doing what's necessary to get the Word in. Well, I don't know where all those healing verses are. I don't know where all those promises are. I don't know. How about this? Just read. Just read. Start in Matthew. And just start reading. And just keep reading. Yeah, but that sounds kind of boring. You're making my point for me here. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You start reading in Matthew, you're going to start seeing God's promises. His promises are contained in the Old Testament too. The more you read, the more you read, the more you read, you're sowing, 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 sowing. The more you sow, the day's going to come, you're going to start speaking to those things that you know are out of line with God's will for your life. And you're going to start seeing things change. You're not going to control other people with this. But you can sure control a whole lot of circumstances, and you can sure control a whole lot of demonic activity. If I do not do this, then I will not have the faith I need to run my race. Oh, I'll be able to take some steps along the way. Don't misunderstand. So will you. But this is a principle that's not going to change. And our Savior, the person that we have entrusted our eternity with, He said, if you have faith in God, then you can begin speaking like God, and you will get results like God. Because as He is, so are you in that world where you live. So this right here tonight has identified why many of us have not seen things happen the way that we thought they were supposed to happen. We just did not have everything that comes with the faith to receive the promise that is out there right now. They're out there. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself. And I encourage you to encourage each other. We need to be sowers of the Word. And we will eventually begin getting the results of the sown Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And there is no way to discount that. So you be encouraged with this tonight. Those of you here, those of you watching, man, let us be sowers of the Word. And then we will start living Mark 11:23 and seeing it come to pass.